I find it helps if you go a little something like this. Hiya! Let's go! Hello and welcome to Unbought and Unbossed Canadian Political News and Views. This is show number 105. Today is January the 21st, 2009. Unbought and Unbossed is an independent voice dedicated to presenting and discussing the political and social issues most relevant to Canadian citizens. This show contends that 9/11 is Canada's single most important issue because the self-inflicted attacks of 9/11 are being used as the justification for the overthrow of our democratic and sovereign nationhood, turning Canada into a corporate-driven plutocracy. The official story of the 9/11 terror attacks and the ensuing war of terror are deeply troubling and are at the forefront of this radio program. I strongly encourage listeners to question what you think you know about today's world events and to analyze the motives behind our traditional news sources. Each week, new segments of Unbought and Unbossed offers further evidence for these incredible claims, which are either omitted or distorted by the mainstream corporate media. Turn your televisions off. You are being lied to and conditioned to accept this madness as our inevitable future. We must work to return the future of the human race to its rightful owners. That's you. Our ignore it and maybe it will go away on its own mentality is killing us. It has to end now. It is high time to wake up and to educate, to learn to work together, and to find the courage to act on our love for one another. Our every freedom is at stake in this battle for truth and accountability. The prize is nothing less than the health of our collective human soul. The revolution has begun. I suggest you find your role. Hey, Bruce Coburn, as always, thank you. Actions speak louder. Right now we have DJ Shadow followed by Ashley McIsaac as I'm giving today's What's on Today's Show. Well, I have a telephone interview with Beata Van Berkum from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. She's been on the show once before, show number 96. That was November 26, so only 2 months ago. Beata and I chatted about her political activism and her tinfoil hat lady persona. Tonight, she will be speaking about her research into crop circles and other related topics. She's also put out a couple of CDs of her spoken word with interesting music sounds behind. I'm going to be playing a couple clips of that as well. So, yeah. Okay, so big news. We have a new president, right? And the monster that's leaving, George W. Bush. Well, he gave a farewell speech, and I guess I want to give a final dig at this little monster of a fellow. So this happened last Saturday, and I'm sure a lot of you heard bits and pieces of it, but regardless, it is a brilliant piece of fiction that sadly will be treated by corporate media as an accurate reflection of the George W. Bush administration. We know better, don't we? So what we're going to hear is a majority of the speech. I did clip it down a little bit time-wise. I'm going to be giving some commentary. I'll stop it and say, what? Did he really just say that? So it'll be kind of one of those things. Likewise, new President Obama. Well, I've got a lot of opinions about this fellow, and unfortunately, they're not very favorable. He's going to have to do a lot if he wants to change my mind, my cynicism about the American political establishment. However, Alex Jones, a well-researched radio host, filmmaker, documentarian, he was on a TV show being interviewed today, possibly out of Russia. I'm not positive. Didn't say. anyways, he's talking about the new President Obama. And I agree with most of what he has to say. Okay, another audio piece I have. Oh, first off, I'll tell you that the Beata Van Berkum interview looking at crop circles and related issues will be in the first hour. As a matter of fact, right after I finish my my segment right now. So, carrying on here with other audio pieces we're going to hear tonight. Well, this is a popular one you hear on the show, Follow the Money Trail, during a financial meltdown. This is looking specifically at tax havens, the hidden hand in the financial crisis. So says the American News Project. That's who put this out. And a look at how offshore financing helped to enable this economic meltdown. It is produced by Lagan Siebert. Thanks to Terry in the Nanaimo for sending that one to me. Okay, let's move on to announcements. Face-to-Face with Jack Etkin. Episode 2 is now complete. It is, they're calling it, The Dangers of Cell Phones. And I've told you about this show that's being played on Victoria Shaw Cable, which is maybe Channel 4. I'm not too sure. I don't have cable. So, however, this second episode is talking about our cell phones, receivers, transmitters, compact fluorescent bulbs, and poorly wired buildings harmful to your health, according to electromagnetic radiation specialist Walt McGinnis. They are, and what's more, your government and the industries that are responsible are aware of this but are doing nothing to stop it. So join host Jack Etkin, I'm hoping this will air in February, as he discusses with Walt McGinnis the existing and potential dangers and risks of electromagnetic radiation exposure. The first episode does have its air dates, so let me tell you about that. The first episode with Face-to-Face with Jack Etkin will be airing in the Victoria region, which includes Salt Spring Island and Duncan. So January 24th, that's a Saturday at 4 p.m. The following day, the 25th, 9:30 p.m. And then the next week, they're going to play it twice again on Saturday, the 31st, 11 a.m., Sunday, February 1st, 1 p.m. So four showings of that, and what that show is. It is the pilot episode. Jack's first guest was Wayne Pronte of Fraser Valley 9/11 Truth. Wayne discussed with Jack his involvement in the 9/11 Truth movement, the effects and anomalies of that tragic day, and what we can do to create positive change through the advocacy and implementation of civil informationing. Wayne, as you know, is a regular guest on this show, both on the phone and in person. Okay, where are we going to go? Oh, I got an announcement here for you CHLY programmers that are listening in tonight. We do have a programmers meeting coming up Tuesday the 27th, 7 p.m., or Sunday, February 1st, 7 p.m., so you have to take in one of those. I just found out something pretty neat today. Dave from the Road Poets Show told me that I've got a Carl from the Cayman Islands is a regular listener to Unbought and Unbossed, and way to go, Carl. Thanks for tuning in. And also, something neat happened last week. Edwin, a caller from last week. If you're listening tonight, I would love to get your phone number and have a chat with you. So if you would like to call in Edwin in the office phone number, and that is area code 250-716-3410. That's to Edwin. And last week's guest was Kevin Annett and his partner Lori O'Rourke talking about the First Nations genocide in Canada. It was a fantastic show, I thought. As a matter of fact, what you can do if you missed it, you can visit my website, unbossed.livejournal.com. And you will find out exactly what was talked about, who was on it, the songs I played, the audio clips, the book reviews. All that information is on my website each week, as well as a link to where you can download the show for later listening use, or you can just click play and listen to it right there at your computer. So that is unbossed.livejournal.com. Okay, so there we go. So why don't we get into our show? I'm going to play a clip of Beata Van Berkom while I'm calling her. And this first clip here is called What We Conceive, We Perceive. However, this also goes in the opposite direction. What we can't perceive, we can't... What we can't conceive, we can't perceive. This is from her CD, Phoenix Message. Now, this is an idea that was also covered in the film, What the Bleep Do We Know? So those of you that are familiar with that film will... This idea won't be new to you. However, this idea does go along with, go a long way with much of our society's willful ignorance and ignoring of the reality of the evidence that points towards the fact that our governments are not controlled by its citizens, but by the moneyed interest above our national borders. And of course, I'm talking about the major, the international bankers. That's who is above our government. And, you know, I really believe that, you know, world events, especially major political events, do not happen by coincidence. I just can't go that far. And I have a feeling Beata Van Berkom agrees with me on that one.
What we conceive.
Oh, hey, you started a little bit early there, Beata. Let's take you back. So this is it, and when I come back, we'll have Beata on the phone. She's in Saskatoon, so thanks for staying up late for me there, Beata. So this is What We Conceive, We Perceive.
What we conceive, we perceive. What we cannot conceive, we cannot perceive. Try seeing the universe as an associative domain of consciousness, rather than a hard physical reality. Here's an example I'll use to explain. Tierra de Fuego, down at the southern tip of South America, was discovered by a Spaniard in 1520. The aboriginal people of Tierra de Fuego were bewildered to see sailors suddenly appearing on their shores. Never having considered the concept of tall ships the sailors arrived in, they literally could not perceive them until their cultural framework had been enlarged to include the possibility of people arriving from the sea in these ships. And here's a quote from John W. Mattingly on this. When Magellan's expedition first landed at Tierra de Fuego, the Fuegans, who for centuries had been isolated with their canoe culture, were unable to see the ships anchored in the bay. The ships were so far beyond their experience that despite their bulk, the horizon continued unbroken. The ships were invisible. This was learned on later expeditions to the area when the Fuegans described how, according to one account, the shaman had first brought to the villagers' attention that the strangers had arrived in something which, although preposterous beyond belief, could actually be seen if one looked carefully. We ask how they could not see the ships. They were so obvious, so real. Yet others would ask how we cannot see things just as obvious. So what we cannot conceive, we cannot perceive. This hypnotic lock is a general condition with our species. Even breakthroughs in quantum physics and neurophysiology are moving toward validating a more subjective view of the nature of reality. The truth is, we each create, and we can learn to be responsible creators if we choose to. What does being a prime creator imply? Well, lots of power. What does great power require? Great responsibility.
Okay, there we are. So I would like to welcome to the show now Beata Van Berkom from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Are you there?
I'm here. Hello, Raymond.
Hi, thanks, and welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me back.
It was a lot of fun the first time, and it was one of the more popular episodes of these last 2 months, so
Guess
we're kind of working together here.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Imagine.
Yeah, and it was interesting. We focused primarily on your tinfoil hat lady persona.
Right, at that point.
Your political activism in that. And I knew full well that you were a researcher into crop circles and,
right.
and a lecturer, and we never got to that. So
No. This
is an appropriate part two.
Okay, well, I have been a volunteer member of a network, the Canadian Crop Circle Research Network, for this will be my 11th season, I guess, coming up. And that's cccrn.ca. And what we do is we try to make relationships with the farmers. Saskatchewan, you know, where I live here, we tend to get the most reports over the last decade of these, you know, mysterious, geometrical, circular, sometimes square shapes, all different kinds of shapes now, in the field, made from plants and sometimes made from ice. And sometimes made from trees. So it's also in sand. So it's a phenomena that is global now. It first started to come into popularity, I think, in England in the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, it has spread across the globe. One of the earliest reports out of England was from 1678. Do you believe that?
I believe it. Is that the one that has a photograph of...
Well, it's a woodcut.
Not a photograph, obviously, but a picture.
Yeah. It's a woodcut.
Yes,
is
there
what
we
it
are.
Is. And it has that little devil, and he's hacking down.
I've seen that one. You
the
bet.
Plants, right? Because
yep.
there was a story of a laborer who didn't want to work for a certain wage, and he said to the farmer, "Well, let the devil mow it." Well, the next morning, there's this odd circle in the field. Now, the interesting part of this woodcut is that the devil seems to be laying out the heads of the plants quite beautifully laid together in an elliptical pattern, and that's really what we see. The plants aren't killed. He's not really harvesting them. He's just lying them down. They tend to be elliptical. Nature doesn't make a perfect circle, apparently. But there's also that fear element, because it's something that's out of the ordinary. We don't expect to see that. So there was a lot of myth, fairy circles, you know, let the devil mow it. A lot of fear around it as well.
Okay, I was going to ask you, why the devil?
Well, I think it was because back then, you know, that was just the way people saw the world as black and white, good and evil.
Okay. So something you didn't understand was the devil's
devil.
Work. Right.
Exactly. You know, that's the way it went. But anyways, now the crop formations are a global phenomena. They're all over the world. You can go to the cropcircleconnector.com and see all the reports from all over the world: Canada, Germany, Holland, the Czech Republic, Israel, Poland, France, Slovakia, Spain, Russia, Belgium, Italy, Australia, New Zealand, Sweden, everywhere. So I think one of the interesting theories about the spread of the phenomena is that perhaps as far as electromagnetics go, let's talk about energy lines and the Earth being its own being, say, okay? When you want to have your body, okay, worked on, you can go get what we call acupuncture. Sometimes they can just do acupuncture to your ear, and it can affect the whole body. Just like they could do reflexology on your foot, and those points on your foot affect the whole body. Well, there's a theory that perhaps England is sort of like the ear of the earth, so to speak. And then maybe this phenomena started there, poking at the various vortex and energy centers there that we know are very ancient, because there are some physical signs of very ancient sites in England. And because of the chalk there, I think, too, this has an effect in the water, and, of course, into the biology of the water in our bodies. So that this phenomena now has spread out to the other, you know, branches of the energy system around the earth to manifest in other countries and maybe other sacred sites, which, again, is an interesting thing.
Right. How many of these energy, maybe chakra might be a good word to use.
Yeah.
How many earth chakras are there?
I think there's probably many. Now, there's going to be lots of theories about that. I really encourage people to do research on that, because that's a whole other show. They're all over the planet. Some people would say Machu Picchu. Some people would say the Bermuda Triangle, even.
Right.
Because if you do look at some of the maps out there, there tend to be a lot of grid points meeting at the Devil Sea in China, the Bermuda Triangle, places like that. But there is an interesting thing that I found, that the Hopi say that the Earth's surface is like the back of a spotted fawn, you know, like a baby deer. And as the fawn grows, the spots move and change numbers. So maybe similarly, every time our Earth, quote, sings a new song, moves into a new vibration, we're going to talk more about that later,
sure,
or enters a new vibrational shift, the power centers or those energy centers or chakras also change to a new geometrical configuration, interconnected by then more complex sacred geometry, let's say. So maybe we're just going again to this next octave of experience, and the crop circles are here to maybe poke at that energy body and also to help trigger our consciousness with their geometry and their beauty.
Okay, what I'm getting from this is that it seems as if you're suggesting that the Earth might be creating these as opposed to extraterrestrial things.
Well, again, I think everything is connected like a huge tapestry. You can't sort of separate it out. Perhaps this is the end of a quarantine and we're going to be now introduced to our galactic community. Maybe the galactic community understands how the Earth works as a sentient being, and maybe we're going to be introduced and unfolded into a vast array of new knowledge at this point. I'm not sure. You know, it's wide open. Some of the ancient texts say that right now we're living in no time. So we're sort of making it up as we go along.
Mm.
But also an interesting thing is some of the crop formations align with ancient landmarks in England, like these burrows in the fields. And it's almost like I wonder if sometimes this is a cyclical thing, because the Hopi say these markings could be sign of the age change again, so it would be cyclical as the power points change on the earth. And sometimes these alignments are right with these old burrows, so it's almost interesting to think maybe a crop formation came, you know, thousands of years ago, and they created this burrow in memory of that circle, you know?
Hmm. Interesting. I understand that in southern England, in the Wiltshire area, again in the early 80s, that which remains today the most popular region of these crop circles, and I believe that's also kind of the Stonehenge area, and you know that's kind of known as a space.
Yeah.
You know, these magical spaces. So, son of a gun, where was I going to go with that question?
Well,
fill that in for me, would you?
Maybe what you're talking about is the separation between the dimensions maybe becoming thinner. And in a place like England, maybe you have access because it is that ear of the earth or the place where you can access the energy grid, the field, and the consciousness field of the earth from there. You know, it's a special place. And you know, the phenomena is connected to so many different things. When you talk about crop formations, you're talking about sacred geometry, you're talking about sound, you're talking about light, consciousness, you're talking about ancient time cycles. Everybody's talking about 2012. And again, the concept of off-world intelligence is also associated because people have seen lights, people have seen UFOs. I think we're past the concept of these are saucer nests, per se. Like there are, I think in Langenberg here in Saskatchewan in 1947, a guy saw five sort of silver discs in his field, and they did leave these little swirls. But that's not part of what a crop formation phenomena is. I think that's a separate thing. There's a saucer nest, and then there's these beautiful geometrical cookie-cutter, beautiful energetic stamps, is what I like to call them, because from the ones that I visited myself, you sure get a different feeling at each one. You feel like they are doing something very particular.
What year was that again with these saucer impressions?
I think that was 1974.
Okay.
It was 1974. Edwin Fur, his name was Fair. He's here from Langenberg, Saskatchewan.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm reading a fascinating book by Jim Mars right now, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, the Fourth Empire being America. However, talking about the Nazis and their ideology, which was very much sought, you know, through the nasty countries trying to, you know, lure their scientists. And, not apparently, they had technology, a flying saucer technology.
Right,
back
I've heard
then.
About that. Yeah,
that,
for sure.
That's not make-believe. They did have a flying saucer. So, and there were lots of sightings of a similar type flying saucer. So it's very possible that was a man-made one.
Well, sure.
Well. Yeah.
Well, you know, science is magic. We understand. You know, magic is just science. We don't. There's so much black ops and different technology that we'd probably be stunned, frankly.
if we knew what was to be known. You know what? I did remember where I was hoping to go with that Wiltshire placing is that the crop circles, from what I understand, are becoming more complex, and followers believe that the language is expanding and that it is a language.
Right.
Can you speak on that?
Well, definitely I think the message is in the pattern, and it's also in the medium, you know, like the fact of them being there themselves. We have had some pretty direct messages right from them. I mean, I can just jump right to the Arecibo information. One of the first, let's just start in 1991, there was a communication by the circle makers in an ancient form of Latin at Mill Kill in the UK. And I can't show you the picture because we're on the radio here. If I was giving you my PowerPoint, which I kind of have in front of me here, I could show you the picture. But what they basically said that it says is Apono Astos. And they translate that as, I oppose acts of craft and cunning. I oppose acts of craft and cunning. And that's after some people stamped talk to us in the field in 1991, and that was the reply. Now, in 1974... our Earth scientists send out a pulse into space, and it basically was our attempt to contact any, you know, sentient races out there And we created this Arecibo message. It was from the Arecibo telescope. It said, we're using this telescope. We're from this solar system. This is the population of Earth. This is the height of a human. This is our DNA, the formulas for sugars and bases in the nucleotides of our DNA, atomic numbers for some of our elements, the decimal numbers from 1 to 10, how we count. And we sent that out into space.
Mm-hmm.
In 1974.
I believe Carl Sagan was one of the scientists on that team.
Yeah, well, he might have been.
Yeah.
And now, an interesting thing, between 1999 and 2001, there was a series of crop formations in relation, I believe, to this Arecibo message. In a field behind the Chilbotin radio telescope in 1999, there was this sort of a triangular bow tie formation. It was cute and everything, and it sort of seemed to get our attention and prime that field. In 2000, in the same spot, there was sort of a sunburst formation, is what I like to call it, or it could look like you're looking down on a bunch of circular array telescope things. It's a beautiful formation. The next year, 2001, for the first time, we have these huge rectangular formations, and nobody could figure out what they were, again, behind the Chilbotin radio telescope. Well, it was a pixelated answer to what we had sent out in 1974, basically a repeat on the bottom, where we had said, we're using the Arecibo radio telescope. They, in that position, had a miniature sunburst formation from the year before. So this is replication of the technology that they're using. Then they say, well, we're on Mars and in the orbit of Jupiter. We're not carbon-based, but silica-based, blah, 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 blah. They answered piece for piece back in this big, huge triangle, a rectangular formation.
Mm-hmm.
Also next to that, there was a pixelated face.
Right, okay.
Right?
An alien,
well, is it human?
Alien
is it
looking?
Alien? I don't know.
Right.
But the next year after that, at a place called Crabwood in 2002, there was almost like what we would conceive as a gray alien holding a disc.
Hmm.
And there was an SETI text binary code message spiraled into that disk that he's holding out towards us. And almost looks like the belt stars of Orion behind him, or it could be three beam ships, we're not sure. And it says, beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. Much pain, but still time. Believe there is good out there. And again, we oppose deception. I oppose acts of craft and cunning was the first message.
What do you think they mean by that? I oppose deception.
Well, I think that the wool has been pulled over our eyes by this make-believe reality that the New World Order pushes on us constantly, right?
Okay.
So maybe they oppose the deception that we inflict upon ourselves.
I would hope so.
Yeah, that's the way I take it. Huh. You know? It meets you where you are, Raymond. We all project what we think onto things, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Well, I started off with your what we conceive, we perceive piece. Did you want to tell us a little bit about your CDs that you've created and what that project is about?
Well, I think that was from the Phoenix Message, and that was actually a part of a lecture that I gave at the Signs of Destiny conference in Tempe, Arizona in 2003. I was invited down there by Dr. Chet Snow to be a speaker at the conference, and it was really great. I got to meet a lot of people. And when I came home, I wanted to share it with people in an audio format. So I went into the recording studio, and I recorded some of those things that I had read before I went into the whole report about the crop circles that were in Saskatchewan, sort of as a message. So that was my Phoenix message.
neat. And the music, is that yours?
The music came from a friend of mine, Indian in the Machine, who did the music.
Okay.
Dieter Braun, who's traveling right now, I think, in Costa Rica.
Right.
And he was just interested in doing some improvisational sort of music comedy and spoken word, and that's what we did. And I just sat there and talked, and he put music to it. We did some other spontaneous musical things that worked out, and it was sort of an experimental audio recording.
Fun. Well, I have a couple more clips. I'm hoping that maybe you can set one up right now. What I would like to play is the Crop Circle phone call, and this is from a different CD called I Circle Around.
Yeah, that's the one that I did with Indian in the Machine.
Okay.
Yeah, I Circle Around. And basically, it was a little poem I wrote out of frustration, out of people ignoring the crop circle phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
And I compared it to them trying to get across to us, that them trying to phone us on the telephone, the crop circles.
Yeah. Well, that's nice because, you know, to me, after paying close attention to it, it was asking me, what is evidence, and are we
right.
waiting for authority to say what is already the obvious?
Yes, and we are that authority, which is, again, my message again, that we have to each become sovereign, eaters of information, processors of information through the chakra system. But regardless, you're going to play this now?
I would like to.
Right on.
Sound good?
Yep.
Okay, well, don't hang up.
I won't.
Just hang on, and we'll get to this audio clip, and we'll be back with Beata Van Berkom shortly. You're listening to CHLY 101.7 FM in Nanaimo, Radio Malaspina. Our web address is www.chly.ca. You can listen streaming live on the right top corner of that home page. You have three options. Please, if you're listening that way on the internet, listen to the lowest phi. Don't hog up the bandwidth space. So let's get on to Crop Circle Phone Call. This is from the CD I Circle Around by Beata Van Berkom.
Okay, the phone's been ringing for 30 years now, and we were, and maybe we still are, busy wondering if it's really ringing, arguing amongst ourselves, unable to agree whether we could verify the fact that there was indeed a telephone in the area, and if in fact it was capable of producing the ringing sound we think we may have heard. After all, it could be a hoax. In fact, we know of a few prank phone callers. In fact, we've been victims of their tricks before. How many times have we scrambled to a ringing phone only to have the caller hang up on us just as we commit to communication? Fear of ridicule and rejection plays a big part in our unwillingness to progress on some issues. But we forge ahead. We next move to looking at what exactly inside the phone produces its ringing noise, how the mechanics of it work. After we have established the ringing telephone and accepted it as part of our reality, and that it is indeed making a sound, using a power source and a mechanism we think we understand, so we feel comfortable, now we feel okay. Will this situation provide enough comfort to allow us room for the idea that this device may also be used in a practical sense as a communication device? Would that lead us to picking up the handle and saying, hello?
I don't know. Will it, Beata?
I hope so, Raymond.
Nice.
I hope so.
How difficult is it? How heavy is that handle? What do you need to do? What does the handle look like?
I think it looks different for everyone.
Okay.
I think it looks different for everyone. And that's the beautiful part about this whole process. It meets you where you are. And this, again, goes back to gestation of consciousness and all these ancient time cycles that are ending right now, giving us a chance to move to the next octave of experience. Like, think about the piano. It goes up in different octaves, higher frequencies. With all these ancient calendars ending right now, maybe what we're doing is just moving to a new frequency so we're able to get new information, create new ideas, and maybe live in peace and compassion finally on this earth plane. I'm not sure what it's going to bring, but there will be a change. And the light from the sun hitting the earth is what runs the biological engine of everything that's alive, and there's no escaping it. Whether you have a New World Order agenda or you're an international evil banker or whatever, consciousness gestation moves forward.
Mm-hmm.
No escaping it. Because there are, you know, the Mayan calendar is supposedly ending December 21st, 2012. The precession of the equinox, which is that backward precession of the planets through the zodiac, Pisces moving into Aquarius now. I think some people miss the connection, too, with astrotheology, that Christian era, that little Piscean fish that they use for the Jesus fish, that's
mm-hmm.
representative of that era. And now we're moving to Aquarius. And I think, I can't remember what the exact Bible quote was, but the disciples were following Jesus and saying, you know, when you go, what are we supposed to do? And he said, go into the city, find the man with the pitcher of water, and go into his house. Well, that's
right.
Aquarius, right?
That's right. And the one previous, of course, was Taurus, you know, the bull worship, which you
that's
have
right.
evidence of in the first Testament.
And the ram before that, with the Jews blowing the ram horn.
Okay.
You know, And this is also a really good piece of research for your listeners, is to Dr. Carl Kalaman and the Mayan Portal. I sent you some links on email that you can use. Because one of the crop circles I found in Conquest, Saskatchewan, was two Venus glyphs. And I found them in September 1999 out on Lyle Amy's farm in Conquest, Saskatchewan. Now, this was the same area that I had gone out to.
Now, you actually found them? You were the first person?
Well, he phoned me up.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, and we went out there. I was the first researcher out there.
Gotcha.
And the year before was the first formation in 98 that I had seen. Again, there was a Venus glyph there, but this one, there was two Venus glyphs, beautiful, right beside each other. One of the circles was a bit smaller than the other, and it was in September 1999. Now, once I found the Carl Kalaman work of the Mayan calendar, he has these little nine-step pyramids representing, again, gestation of consciousness through all of creation, billions of years, going up this step pyramid, and the galactic underworld. He starts at January 5th, 1999. Well, 1999 is when these two Venus glyphs came.
Can you explain what you mean by Venus cliff or cliff?
Well, they were pictured with a circle with the cross off of it. It's the symbol of the planet Venus.
Okay.
In astrology.
All right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I do now.
Okay, sorry about that. Got to be clear, yeah. Now, the galactic underworld goes from January 5th, 1999 to October 28th, 2011. During that time, there will be two Venus passages, one on June 8th, 2004, which we already had, and the next one comes June 6th, 2012. So, now when I spoke down in Ohio at the Independent Crop Circle Researcher Association, I said, I don't know why one of these circles was larger than the other. And someone in the audience said, well, if it represents the Venus passage, Venus would be closer or farther away from the Earth at that point. So I really believe that that formation is letting us know that, yes, this is referring to this beautiful calendar that Dr. Kalaman made, the transit of Venus that is going on from 2004 to 2012. They happen every 264 years or something, and there's always like that 8 years between them. So that was something very interesting, and I was really felt really blessed to be able to put that together. And I even wrote to Dr. Kalaman and let him know.
Mm, there you go.
Yeah.
This 2012, you know, is pretty big in certain circles. I'm not familiar with it being in the mainstream media. Is it cracking in yet?
I don't think very much. I mean, how do they approach it? It's more like a fun little story that you tag on somewhere, right?
Okay.
Maybe as we get closer, it might be, but there's so much distraction with everything that's going on right now with Obama and all
course,
the new
yeah.
changes
yeah.
And things like that. But I really believe it's a great opportunity right now. Like, you know, again, when a woman's having a baby, it looks like she's dying, right?
Mm-hmm.
But really, she's having another birth. And there's another ancient system that I didn't mention, too, is the Hindu or Vedic timekeeping system.
Okay, let's hear about
and
that.
And that's huge. That's billions of years we're talking about. So this system is winding down into a 4.4 billion year cycle that their mathematicians have kept track of, you know, back and forward in time. So that whole cycle is ending. A day of Brahma is starting again. One yuga cycle is 4,380,000 years. 1,000 of those maha yugas is a kalpa, or a divine age. And that kalpa, again, is that day of Brahma. So it 4.4 billion years. That's just an amazing amount of time. So the Earth is entering a new day of Brahma when the cycle of human soul evolution makes a quantum leap out of our ignorance or our darkness and into the light. And I always say to people when they start to get stressed and distracted with all the information of all the manipulation that goes on, is that, look, when you open a door into a dark room, the light always moves into the darkness. There is no way that the darkness ever comes out and swallows you up. You have to do that mechanically. You have to force that. So you have to have faith and hold your frequency, and that's what it's all about now. When I was in Sunday school, I remember they said in the Bible, Jesus said, keep your robes clean for the day of my return. And I really believe that has to do with the energy field that we carry with us and what we contribute to society with our voice, with our thoughts, every moment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's why the television can be so poisonous, because they want to keep you in a state of fear, in a state of lack. And it's almost scary now when I catch a bit of television, because you can just see it so clearly that it's not really what life's about. But sitting in your garden and watching your plants grow can give you much more information.
Mm-hmm. Good point. I share your sentiment about television. I can't watch it for too long without feeling that I'm being manipulated.
Well, sure, and it's time for this to change. Again, it's a change of frequency. Frequency just means the measure of how often a periodic event occurs. So a signal going through a complete cycle, all these calendars ending and measuring consciousness gestation. That's what the theory behind the mind calendar is that it's measuring the gestation of our consciousness as incarnate soul beings here. And it's an exciting time because we're going to be starting to be able to hold more information.
This Mayan calendar is also quite accurately depicting huge cycles of time that, you know, that doesn't seem that they created themselves without the help of, to me, someone giving them some secrets and teaching them about the heavens.
Well, sure. And that's the whole concept of us being maybe genetically engineered by a more technically advanced species. Maybe not spiritually advanced, but definitely technically advanced.
Sure.
And they gave us, you know, the science to live here.
Do we call that being seeded? Is that the popular term?
Maybe. That's a good one.
Okay.
That's a good one. I wonder how people would take that. How would they take that?
I don't know. You know, for me, that idea that if we look at our DNA, you know, the human genome, they've been working on very steadily for a number of years, but it seems that they're, you know, have close to, you know, full understanding on it. And, you know, the numbers they give that, you know, we are so damn close to a fruit fly, for example.
Right.
You know, forget an orangutan or a chimpanzee, but, you know, a fruit fly, we're almost there.
Yeah.
How is it possible that, you know, the human, you know, capable of, if not having, at least creating a soul, that seems like a really big leap to, you know, genetically be nearly identical to something that is a fruit fly.
So maybe the important thing is what we can't see.
Hmm.
The more important essence that your biology can hold.
Okay.
You know, like again, we perceive the third dimension here. Our eyes can only see the visible spectrum, right? The seven colors of the rainbow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that other things aren't out there that to be seen.
Well, we know that there's a lot out there that our senses are so diminished, you know, to what is available, you know, that we've created technology that can measure things that we can't perceive.
That's right.
Yeah.
We see a very small band of the electromagnetic spectrum. In fact, when I show people the diagram, they're shocked.
Yeah.
In my workshop.
Yeah. Our hearing as well, you know, is another example.
Exactly. So there's things going on around us all the time that we can't, you know, see or hear.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's part of what this 2012 thing is about.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we will start to see and hear things beyond our current perception. Maybe that's part of this moving into new frequencies of awareness and experience.
Yeah, I hope so, because, you know, I've been teaching myself history and the last couple of years, and what I've come to learn is not very promising. You know, the human race is, I'm really concerned about it, and that's why the show is you know, that's why the show happened.
Well, that's
right. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I feel great sadness for the future of our race, and it's almost as if it's kind of I'm being tricked to think, well, maybe I'm going to have faith in the other, you know, and then I go, oh, well, gee, maybe I'm sounding like I'm being converted to, you know, a cult of some kind.
Right.
And I think, oh, no. So, you know, so I'm kind of fighting myself back and forth. And, you know, am I playing tricks on myself? Who knows? Do you have the answer?
Well, you know what? You know what I think sometimes? It's really good. It's easy to get caught in the mental body. And if we get a chance to talk about the chakra system, that's the solar plexus. And that's the mind-ego complex. And it's very scared of death.
Mm.
It really is. It's not hooked up with its eternal nature. And again, that comes back to the trap that we're in there. We stuck in classical logic. We have expectations. We think this or that. We have beliefs. Whereas I'm suggesting people move towards more of what I like to call a quantum logic, that we have experiences, that we can accept this and that will create knowledge, and that will allow us to make the changes that we do need to, you know, survive. Because I hear what you're saying.
Hmm.
I do.
That it's not all one. It's likely a combination of many.
Yeah. And once we start to see the universe as something that we can interact with, as an associative domain of consciousness, rather than just like, you know, our Newtonian hard physical reality, then our science is going to start to go forward. We're going to start to become empowered as individuals once we understand that we are little, you know, electromagnetic, wonderful, co-creating beings walking around. And this is a holographic cafe, and we don't always order up what we want, you know? Usually when people are praying for something, it's like, oh, I don't have enough money. Give me some money. Oh, God, please just give me some money. But I think the trick is...
Is that what they say?
Yeah. I think so. Give me some money. Give me some money. I got to pay the rent or whatever they want. Give me a boyfriend. You know, I don't have a boyfriend.
Give me my hair back.
Well, give me my hair. I have no hair. You know, instead of getting into the feeling, I don't know if this works for hair, but getting into the feeling of it already being done. So that you're in a gratitude instead of a begging, mm-hmm. you know? And that has to do with our self-perception, because we believe that we're just sentient meat for the most part. And that's the biggest trick. They have tricked us to not understanding that we co-create this reality and that this is a holographic cafe and we get what we order. And that's why they like us to watch TV and stay in that frequency so that we create what they order.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it goes.
Where I would like to go with this, and let's see how you feel about it,
yeah.
is you have a longer piece. It's about 8 minutes, but
yeah.
it is jam-packed full of so many interesting topics concerning. It's the title is Experience Saskatchewan Crop Circle.
Right.
I would like to play that, and then I'm hoping that we can come back and chat for a while longer, you know, as long as you're able and willing. I know it's getting a little bit late.
Yeah. But that's okay. I'll hang in there.
Okay.
And then I would just like to explain a little bit more about the information path that we move through the chakras, but if we have time. And if not, this next piece is really great. So I hope everybody enjoys it.
Yes, indeed. Okay. Well, thanks, Beata. Again, don't hang up, but you do have 8 minutes to, you know, do things that you need to...
Okay. Thank you.
Right. Okay. I'll see you. I'll hear from you shortly, Beata.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, friends. So let's... take it over to that. Should I remind you again, you're listening to the Unbought and Unbossed show. I'm your host, Raymond. You're listening to CHLY 101.7 FM. This show comes on every week, Wednesdays from 8 to 10. So let's move on to experiencing a Saskatchewan crop circle. The composer of this piece is Beata Van Berkham. That's who we're speaking to. Telephone interview. She is in... Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, in the center of Canada, and I'm on the far left coast on Vancouver Island in Nanaimo. So let's move on to this next piece, and we'll see in about 8 minutes.
One of my personal favorites from many old farmers after coming across these beautiful creations in the fields. No human being did what I saw there in that field.
Well, lots of people don't know that Saskatchewan is very, very mysterious, sacred, lovely, gorgeous place. We get the most crop formations in Canada every year. Ontario is sneaking up on us, but Saskatchewan does seem to get quite a few. In fact, we've got the nickname of the Wiltshire of Canada. Wiltshire being the area in the UK where most of the crop formations are found. So there's lots of things going on in Saskatchewan. Greenwater Provincial Park, a lot of UFO sites up there. The first crop formations that I visited were in Conquest, Saskatchewan in 1998. And I was very excited. And I wanted to blend and feel the energy of the circle. I wanted to blend my energy with the circle. So I jumped out of the car and I ran to the circle, and there was an actual crop circle. And one of the circles had a little cross off of it, and one was like a small donut. And I just remember opening my energy, saying, oh, please, 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 please connect with me. And then suddenly sure if it was my slow vibration being quickly, you know, raised to the vibration of the formation, or if it didn't amplify some of the bitterness I was carrying with me that day, and that itself was what made me sick.
Each of them seems to have its own vibration, its own energy signature.
When I went to the largest crop formation we've had in Canada, which was near Revenue, Saskatchewan, in 2003, I had the most awesome feeling of homecoming. I couldn't even see the entire formation because it was 440 feet long. I could only see halfway down the first 100-foot circle, down the pathway, the long pathway that ended in the classic key formation, which was the first time in Canada we'd had this. And I remember walking down this beautiful 90-foot pathway of laid wheat, just perfectly laid, and thinking, what is this doing here? How did this get here? And when I got to the end of the E, there was a swirling energy. It was as if a circle was just going to be made right in front of me. It's almost like I could feel the swirling. And there was a pressure. And I yelled for my husband. I said, come here, come here. There's something. There's some energy. There's something at the end of this pathway. And, of course, he couldn't feel it. The camera wouldn't work in certain areas of this formation. I would find if I would step a couple steps to the right, it would work again. So there must have been some grids of energy laying through there. My young son, who was 8 years old at the time, became quite still and was saying, Mom, Mom, I can feel it in my legs. I can feel it in my mouth. Mom, my mouth is vibrating. My fingers are vibrating. When we went to the Wadena crop circle, the swather had driven over most of the four circles that were in the field. And we couldn't quite tell exactly how the shapes were. The barley was just bent 4 inches up of the ground, almost like little fairies that just come, balls of light had just come through there. You could just feel how they just touched down and made these beautiful, gentle circles. And the swather had taken off the heads of these standing centers from these circles, but we noticed that they were brand new, mature heads of barley coming out of these swathed plants, swathed 2 days previous. And I said to the farmer, is that normal? To have brand new, mature heads, reinvigorated, coming out like that? And he said, no. Crop circles. What are they? Who made them? What made them? Oh, they must be hoaxed. Nothing could do this. Hey, I know some kids who do this. This is the problem, the mind. The mind is the problem. What goes through your mind is, how can this be? We're saying, you know, this cannot happen, yet I'm having this experience. Because when we experience a crop formation, we don't have the scientific experience, and we don't have the traditional beliefs to fill in the gap. So it's the most novel experience that a modern human can have. Your presumptions are completely deflated. The solace is that it's so beautiful that any fear that you might have around it is pushed aside almost, because the beauty of what you're seeing is so overwhelming, and the feeling of home. Some of the reports that I've gotten back just tell me that this is not something that people did with a board and rope. There's a serious energetic shift at that place, and people can feel it. I I really encourage everybody to try to get out to a crop formation. And I really believe that if many people would desire crop formations to come, that we would find many more of these forms in the fields during harvest. I really believe that desire for communication, desire for a novel experience, desire for consciousness expansion, those are going to be the calling cards. Those are going to be the keys to this co-creative experience that we're finding every year more and more. Especially the last 30 years, it's getting pretty exciting. I don't think that it's something to be afraid of. Rather, I think it's an opportunity to learn more about who we are, to learn more about where we are, and to learn more about what we can do. So when we meet the neighbors, we know who we are.
Okay, so when we meet the neighbors, so says Beata. Great piece. That was well done. Nice sound in the background, and that's full of different topics we can cover. I know that you want to talk about chakras for a little bit, but can we stay with this crop circle idea for a short while?
Yeah, no problem.
And what I'm getting out of that piece is you seem to be speaking, well, for yourself and as well as for humanity, perhaps, a need to connect.
Right.
And energy is a real important thing in there as well. Vibrations of energy, the uniqueness. What can you tell me about our need to connect and what energy might have to do with it, both on a larger and smaller scale?
Well, this really leads into the fact that we are more than just our physical body. We have four bodies, right? We know our physical body.
Okay.
It's the most dense. It vibrates at the lowest frequency. It has the most intense energy, like, that we feel. Well, maybe not the most intense, but we're in our body. That's how we're told we are our body, almost. But really, we're driving our body because we have another body. It's the emotional body. The physical body is connected with that first chakra. The emotional body is connected with the belly chakra. Then we have our mental body. I think the emotional body is probably the strongest body that we do have. But the mental body is up in the solar plexus, and that's where we all hang out. Ego, mind, complex. Intellectualize everything. We love that. And those are the physical chakras. That's what holds us right here in 3D. But we do have the fourth body, which is our spiritual body, and that's what the crop circles are trying to speak to us. To see the whole of things, the higher conscious mind. And that's connected to that heart chakra, which is the bridge to the spiritual chakras. And that's why the Jesus statues always have the flaming heart. And he's always got the hand pointing up and the hand pointing down. There's a quote from Rumor God in the House of Four Rooms that there's an Indian belief that everyone is in a house of four rooms, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. And that most of us just live in one room most of the time. We know that. A lot of us just live in the mental body. A lot of us just live in the physical body. But unless we go into every room every day to keep it aired, we're not complete. So this is what the reconnection is about. Chakras basically connect those four bodies. They're like back-to-back vortexes, seven, up the body. Seven is the completion. And it is the seven notes, the seven colors, all that kind of stuff. Our physical body, we develop from birth to 16 years. At 16 years, our physical body is basically done. The emotional body is developed up to the time we're 21 years old,